Now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim to us so we may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you'll live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. So let's just pray. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for your words, Lord, to the people of God, and other people, we're your people. And Lord, we just thank you that your word is close to each one of us, Lord. Your word is very near. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. And we pray this morning, Lord, that you would pour your grace and your mercy and your love upon your people, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would elevate our eyes to see you and our hearts to follow you, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to continue a little bit about what I spoke about a couple of weeks ago. And I've called this talk something very different than I've put on the notice. I've called it Prayer, Faith and Action. So you got that, Gavin? Prayer, Faith and Action. And God's really been putting a burden on my heart over the last long time, actually, of prayer, but particularly at this time. Because prayer is where it happens, isn't it? Prayer is where the action is. It says in Acts 6:4, and we will give our attention to prayer. Edward Payson says, prayer is the first thing, the second thing, the third thing necessary to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Pray, then pray, then pray, then pray. Another week, last week, I remind us of the verse, which is very, very familiar to each one of us. There's an absolute classic that it says, if, and we know what I'm going to say next, don't you? If my people who are called by name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear you from heaven, will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You see, that in its self-contained statement is telling you the beginning and the end. Pray and then this will happen. Pray and this is what I'm going to do. Pray and this is what the outcome will be. Do you see? But we've got to humble ourselves and pray. Prayer is about humbling ourselves before God. I spoke last time about Jesus being a model prayer. He was the model of prayer in the Bible, wasn't it? And at different times, Jesus invited his disciples to the mountaintop to be with him, to see and how he prayed. It says this in Luke. Once when Jesus was praying in private and disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowd say I am? Who do you say I am? And the crowd said things like, I'm John the Baptist, I'm Elijah, etc. And then Jesus said to them, so who do you say that I am? Peter answered, the Christ of God. Then 9 verses on, he goes, he took Peter, John and James up the mountain to do what? To pray. As he was praying, Jesus was transfigured. It says his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. And this is the point I made last time I spoke a couple of weeks ago, is this. It was in the praying that Peter recognized Jesus as the Christ. It was in the praying that Jesus was transfigured. Jesus was revealed not as a mere man, but as God himself. See, prayer reveals Christ. The ordinary situation we find ourselves in, the mountains, the challenges, our hopes and fears, prayer allows us to recognize and welcome Jesus into that situation. We see the Lordship of Christ ushered in when we pray and place our situations in the hand of the King. Do you get that one? It's an absolute nugget. When they prayed, they saw Jesus as Lord. When they prayed, they saw God, Jesus transfigured from a man to be God himself. We need to see Jesus as Lord and God. When Jesus prayed, Jesus lit up because he was in his Father's presence. When Moses came down the mountain, he was lit up when he was in his Father's presence. His face shone so brightly that he had to wear a covering because the glory of the Lord was upon him and was so bright. Jesus' invitation to you and to me is come near to God and I will come near to you. In Luke 11, Jesus taught on prayer by teaching them what? The Lord's Prayer. What is the Lord's Prayer? How to pray to the Lord. I think it's fantastic that God shows us that. Why? To prioritize our lives around what God is doing. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The priority of God's kingdom. That is why God has called us to be part of his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, prayer changes our perspective, and we look to God for our help. See, when we look to God, we look up to God rather than down to our situations we find ourselves and say, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed, I can't deal with this. But what does the psalmist say? Don't look down, look up. I lift my eyes up to the mountain, where does my help come from? So if God is my help, he's also with me. Prayer recognizes that God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Jesus said before he ascended into heaven was this, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What does that mean? I am with you always. I'm not going to leave you. You're not going to be on your own. Pray and the Lordship of Christ will be revealed. Focus in on Jesus and he will awaken us to the power of God. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I love the fact that Jesus went into his room to pray to the one who was unseen. That means I can go into my room and be fully confident that Jesus is with me even though he is unseen. The great thing is I don't see him, but he sees me. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. See, the power of prayer prioritizes our lives around what God is doing. It becomes a means by which we live, breathe, see, talk, walk out our faith. Prayer raises our expectation that we are not slaves to our circumstances. We can rely on God to act on our behalf and to be the answer to the situation or situations we find ourselves in. Because prayer releases faith and allows us to enter into God's space. When we pray, we see things as they really are. When we pray, it opens the window of heaven and opens the doors of heaven. Revelation 4 says this. This is John praying. If I can find it. Revelation is one of the easy ones. It's towards the end of the book, I believe. So it's quite helpful. I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I'll show you what must take place. And there's a fantastic what? It's the image of Christ. Because that's what happens when we pray. It opens the window and doors of heaven. Because God doesn't want to hide himself from us. He wants us to pursue him. So he does, yes, he does hide himself from us. But when we pursue him, seek and you will find. Knock on the door and it will be opened unto you. So he's not far from each one of us here today. And you see, faith is the lens by which we are called to view the world. When I see the world through my own eyes, I can become fearful, anxious, overwhelmed. But when I put on the glass of faith, as I put these are my glass of faith, suddenly, as far as looking quite cool, I can see things differently, don't I? But suddenly, faith enables me to see the things that I cannot see in my own flesh. It's called faith. says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now faith has been sure of what we hope, or the Greek also says to be trusting and expectant, for and certain of what we do not see. And so we're called to please God, aren't we? We're called to move his heart. And God wants us to be a people of faith. Because how can we come to him and ask him to answer our prayers if we don't believe he exists? You're not here, Lord, or let me pray to you. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Lord, I believe in you. I believe in what your word says. I believe through the history of the church. I believe through the revelation God gives me through his word, through the presence and power of his Holy Spirit. I believe you exist. I see you in creation. You are here. I can have confidence in praying to Jesus because he is with us. And faith is responding to the promises of God, not being limited by human ability or activity, but our faith unlocks the potential of God in our lives. Hebrews 11 is a list upon list of those who are commended for their faith. And I'll let you read that yourself, because there's a whole list of those who responded to God, and through faith they're commended by God as men and women of faith. See, most of us are products of our environment, aren't we? We work well by what we see and what we understand. And over the years, we build up our own understanding of the world, and it's not always a true understanding of the world, because we see what is presented to us. And it often means that when the storms come along, we can get well and truly not. We can lose heart, we can lose God, and we can become subject to our circumstances. And in Matt 8:23, this is the story which we're all familiar with, but it's just the Lord has been speaking to me so powerfully about this over the last few days. And it's an amazing story. It's a simple story, but it has incredible implications for the rest of our lives. Then he got into a boat with his disciples, as his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." I love that Jesus is not afraid of storms. Jesus sleeps in storms. Jesus has a good snooze in the middle of a recession. Jesus sleeps when the economy seems to be going all over the place. Jesus is asleep when the finances are all over the place. Because Jesus is in the storm. The "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Jesus said, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" What did he do then? He rebuked and calmed the storm. And as I began to think about this wonderful story, I was just thinking that Jesus is not afraid of anything, is he? And Jesus, in the middle of the incredible storm, is incredible peace. And God wants us to see him with us in the storm. God is with us in this time we are going through. God is with us. This situation is not too big for him. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love. God calls us to be in the world, but not of it. We are in the storm, But Jesus calms the storm. But when the storm comes, our human temptation is to batten down the hatches, to close the door, and to retreat. And as we said earlier, and that has responded to many of us as we've suddenly looked at the implications of our finances and our personal finances and at home and looking at our budgets and things. But see, Jesus is with us. God is with us. Jesus wants us to put our hand out to him so that he can put a hand out to us. Paul says this, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. And so we are called at this time to press in, to pray, to seek God's face. This is the time in which the church is called to be distinct, to show its true colours. It is the time in which we model and witness to the world that Jesus is Lord. People need people like you and me to live and model what it looks like to live in the storm. And I'm not saying it's easy, but we're here to help each other, to stand together. When we're anxious, let's pray for each other. When we're worried, let's get alongside each other. Let's be encouragers. And as we pray, Jesus calms the storm. And as we pray, we see Jesus as the Christ. As we pray, Jesus is transfigured from just seems just like a man to God himself. And the picture I gave a couple of weeks ago was a picture I had. I was in the middle of a storm. And I felt the Lord say, I want to invite you into this what was like a cave. And so I climbed into this cave. And outside was a raging storm. And in the cave, I was sitting down there with Jesus. And it's like the light in the cave was kind of flickering in God's presence. And I sat together, Jesus, and his presence warmed the room. And as I spent time with him, the storm became still. And as I spent time with Jesus, I knew that everything was going to be all right. So God calls us to pray. God has called us to be a people of faith. He calls us to put on our lenses so we see things as God sees them. But he also wants to remind us that the kingdom of God is not seasonal. The kingdom of God is advancing. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. The mustard seed still becomes the biggest tree. The yeast still works through the batch. And when the storm comes, the kingdom of God is still at hand. See, God wants us to put on our glasses of faith. To put on the glass of faith to join with God's activity upon the earth, in the city, in this local community, in the nation, in our families, in our homes. And 2 weeks ago, I was invited with Paddy and another person by the Guinness Brewery to come share with them the vision of Core. It's quite extraordinary to have that invitation because I've been hearing what God is doing through this church. And so I was invited into St. James's Brewery. I went into the bit. We were actually taken not into the storehouse, which is the kind of the usual place I was expecting to be led, but I was led right into the business section, and we led to meet with a person who's the head of all the finance at Guinness, and they wanted to hear what we were doing. That's amazing, isn't it? And isn't it timely? And as I've been thinking about this, I'm beginning to look into, Arthur Guinness, as we've been celebrating 250 years of his life. And he was a worshipper in this church here in St. Catharines. And his heart was to see the church minister to the poor and needy. Out of this church came some of the first Sunday schools that went from out of here throughout the nation of Ireland. He started schools for the poor and needy. He supported initiatives that would help people fulfill their God-given potential. So when we met the other week, when we sat down in the office over at Guinness, we had something very much in common. We were able to share that Arthur Guinness's vision for this church is what we are doing in this church. If it's our vision, it's your vision. Because he came out of here and established both the business enterprise and also the outworking of the ministry that he was very, very prevalent and a philanthropist in, and etc. So it's a beginning of a relationship with them. They said to us, it was a bit like a negotiation. They weren't going to give too much away. But they said they wanted this to be a long-term relationship. And so we just talked and we shared and we talked and we shared, and they're going to come down and see what we do. They're going to come along and have a look at some of the ministries that we do. They don't, as I said, we can't promise anything, but we're just interested in what you're doing. So I thought it was an amazing thing to be invited into. And so I thank the Lord for that, because I never imagined that would ever happen. And so I've got now a phone line to them. I've got personal email phone to say, please, let's dialogue. Let's continue the conversation. Let's see what we can do together. Exciting, isn't it? I also mentioned to see whether we can get on the Guinness Trail, because Arthur Guinness used to worship here. And so we've been now put, I've been given a name of someone to meet up and talk about that as a separate thing, so that we can actually be part of the 1 million people that walk past this building each year to go to Guinness. Why shouldn't they pop in here? So that's another thing that was, they said, well, great idea, let's have a look at that. See, God is at work in the middle of the storm. And God wants to provide us with allies who help fulfill his vision for us as a church. And so I want to encourage you now just with some snapshots of what God does through this church by stilling the storm. I was out visiting with Paddy the other week. We were walking around the flats and a little girl ran up to him, put her arms around him, and was so pleased to see Paddy. And as I was walking, I was just standing side just behind him thinking, that investment of 10 years, walking in and out of that community, getting to know the people, getting to know them, teaching them that God, Jesus loves these people. This little girl came running towards Paddy because she knew she was loved. So she knows what's going to calm her storm. We went around the corner and we bumped into a lady who's coming off drugs. And she wants a fresh start in her life. And she's asked whether a team from the church will come in and help decorate her lounge. And we said, of course, we'd love to do that. And we've got a team that does just that. But we said, can we pray for you? She goes, please, can you pray for me? And so we prayed that the Lord would bless her in a difficult time she's going through at the moment. We prayed that the Lord would be with her in a situation. We prayed that the Lord would calm her storm. Because we have Jesus, he calms storms, and people need to know Jesus. A friend of ours, as I've shared with you before, Olivia, who lives behind us, she's in her last time, really. She's got cancer, and she's probably not going to be around for very much longer. But God has used that in a most amazing time, and I knocked on Paul's door on whenever the night this week to see how he's doing, because she's in hospital and I don't think she's going to come out again. But we stood out the back alleyway of where our house is, and he sat there with a can of beer in his hand smoking cigarettes, and I stood there just chatting with him. And he said to me, John, he goes, I'm just so scared. I'm really worried about losing Olivia. I'm really worried about this. I'm really worried about that. I'm really worried about that. And I said, Paul, would you be able to, let's pray. And I said, what we're going to do now, we're going to invite Jesus into your situation. He goes, oh, please, can we do that? And so we invited Jesus to come. And I said, so we just prayed that Jesus would come and be with Olivia, that Jesus would come and be with him in his life, that Jesus would come and bring his peace. And he said to me, he goes, John, when I'm with you, I always feel this peace. I said, the only reason you feel that peace is because Jesus is with me and he's also with you. and he will calm your storm. And he just held me like that. He just wanted to know, not because of me, but because I have the good news of Jesus Christ. And so he was able to have the storm in his life calm, because that is what we can do as a church when the storms come. Last week we had our mums, and we call it mum to mum, and it's a time for mums to get together to encourage them in their walk with Jesus. We're getting a website up to help women, mums and children to connect, because the city is so dispersed out all over the place. You need something to help mums realise they're not on their own. And they came together with a lovely couple who are speaking at the marriage course to really build and encourage the mums up, because it's a difficult job, as all mums know, and it's a hard job, and it's a lonely job, and sometimes it feels like one big storm. And so they were able to come together to be encouraged, to be built up, to share what they were going through, to be prayed for, so that they could be reinvigorated, encouraged, sent back out there, so that there was peace in the storm. Same in the marriage course we're putting on. The reason we're putting it on, because I hear time and time again of broken relationships. And God wants to restore broken relationships. And we want to create spaces in which we can restore our love for each other, our love for God, and that our marriages can be strengthened. And so that's why I want to encourage you who are married, that they're such precious things, marriages. They're such a sign of God's blessing. And they're a sign of God's love for the church, and a sign of God's love for community, blah, blah, blah. And that we want God to re-establish those. So these are times of helping us to the storms that we have in marriage. We all do. You know, surprise, surprise, you know, we all go through difficult times. But Jesus, when he's in the storm, calms the storm. The last few weeks, so as I write coming in now to the conclusion, I've been visiting small groups every Wednesday, and I'm just doing it every week. And they remind me of that picture of the cave I had. A place set apart to worship God, to pray together, to read God's word together, to encourage each other, to build each other up. Because we need times where we can remember that God is with us. We forget very quickly, don't we? And so as I've been going around the different small groups, I've been so encouraged to see what God is doing. And so I want to really encourage people to join small groups, because they're like a cave in the middle of the week where you can sit down and remember that Jesus is with you. You've got brothers and sisters who can pray for you when you're going through difficult times. When you're going through good times, you can pray for them. It's a time of support and encouragement. It's a time of fun. But these are things we want to put to, because what we want to do is help people through the storms of life. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you receive what he's promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. And so in the praying, Peter recognized Jesus the Christ. In the Lord's Prayer, we reprioritize our life around what God is doing. We enter into his ministry. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're not to be those who shrink back, but to push in. It is Jesus who calms the storm. The Lord wants his people to be a people of faith, because Jesus has designed the church for the storms. And so, as we said earlier, God wants us to recommit to what God is doing in this church. And part of the recommitting is getting involved with what God is doing. It's putting the tithing back into his hands. Tithing is a very interesting one when you study about it, because the tithe actually doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. We're giving back to God, which is all what is already his. But the act of giving back to God our tithe is saying, I trust in you, Jesus. And this is a sign of my trust. And Jesus is saying to us, will you trust me to pour out my blessing upon you, or are you going to do it yourself? I don't want to do it myself. I want him to do it for me, but I want to put my bit into what he's doing so that God can multiply it for the furthering of his kingdom. So let's stand and let's pray. Lord Jesus, what I love about you is you're just such an encourager. You so want us to receive the fullness of your Son. Lord, you long us to line up with you so that we can have a full access to everything you've won for us upon the cross. And Lord, you don't want us to be anxious about anything. You do not want us to be fearful. You don't want us to be isolated, thinking that we're on our own. Lord, you've called us as the body of Christ. And when one bit hurts, we all hurt. And when one bit rejoices, we all rejoice. And Lord, I want to pray now that you would release upon us a fresh revelation of your Son. I want to pray now, Lord, that you would release a fresh revelation of your love. Sometimes we're so bound up in our anxiety that we can't even reach out to you, Lord. I just want to pray, Lord, that you'd reach out to us. You know what we're like, Lord, but you love us. You so want to bless us. You so want to pour your blessing upon your church. But one of the challenges God has shown me, we still have to do something. And so, Lord, I want to pray now that you would release upon us afresh a burden of prayer. To seek you, to pursue you until we find you. Thank you, Lord, that you're not far from each one of us here today. And Lord, I want to pray this morning that you remind us it's about a relationship. It's about a relationship of love. It's not about a load of laws and regulations or I've got to be here for 9 hours. It's actually about enjoying the presence of Jesus. And so I want to pray now, Lord, that you would release in our times with you a fresh revelation of your presence, a fresh revelation of your love, a fresh revelation of your peace, a fresh desire to pursue you, Lord. May we be those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. So Holy Spirit, come upon your people, Lord. We need you to meet with us, Lord, we pray. So we welcome you now. So just welcome the presence of God in our hearts. Just welcome Jesus in. Just welcome him now. We'll break any timidity, fear, Lord, now we pray. Lift our eyes up to the mountains. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Increase what you're doing, Lord, we pray. Just increase it now, Lord. Just increase it, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Yeah. Yeah, Lord. Lord, just break the heavy yoke right now, Lord. Let's break it. Let's break the heavy yoke. Just break it now, Lord. Break it in this place. Break the burdens in this place, Lord. Break them now. Break them, Lord. Break them now. Just break the power of those things, Lord, that are just overwhelming. Oh, thank you, Father, Lord. Yeah. Yeah, Lord, just love you. Praise God, Lord. Yeah, Lord, bless you, Lord. Just bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Lord, Jesus, Lord. Lord. And I just see a picture. It's almost with these yokes. In the Bible, yokes are kind of like wooden things you put upon oxen, and they were to carry the heavy yoke. And I see in this picture a bit like people being healed, and I see them throwing their sticks away. And I just feel that the Lord this morning is going to be taking these yokes off people, and it'll be like the lame being able to walk again. And so we're just going to pray for you guys that God will break those yokes off. So we're just going to bring people up here to pray just to break those yokes off now, because we don't want you leaving this place with that weight upon you. So come forward, and I'll invite the ministry team to come and pray with you. Just want to encourage you, because you don't want this over you. We just want the Lord to break the power of these yokes. So just encourage you now if that's something which is like a burden upon you. It's kind of like it's weighing you down. It's a wonderful picture of being set free. So I just want to encourage you just to come forward now just to pray with you. Just to break the heavy yoke. That's it, Lord. Thank you, Father. It'll be different things for different people. But that's okay, because we all react to different things in different ways. That's it. Thank you, Lord. More of your power, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Lord, bless you. Thank you, Father, Lord. Yeah, yeah. And so as you're standing there, maybe in your heart you just say, Lord, this is what my yoke is. It's not easy. And we're going to come, by the power of Jesus, we're going to say, in Jesus' name, we break the power of that yoke in Jesus' name. And that's all we're going to do, because Jesus knows what he's doing. And so it's for us just to stand with these people and let the Lord. And the Lord's just going to lift these things off. It's going to be fantastic. It's very exciting, because you're going to go away here a bit lighter.